Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's too early to get all that wrapped up in it, but still enjoy it. Enjoy it. We're walking a line here. But the Browns coming off the bye, and I just realized, I was thinking about this game and starting to plan for this game.
Yeah.
How this is a game you cannot lose for a multitude of reasons. None more so than Darren Rizzi, who used to be the special teams coach. Now he's the interim head coach in New Orleans. He was talking about his first week as Saints head coach and how it started off. And here's the coach that once you hear this, you're going to know why you can't lose to this Saints team this weekend.
You guys know me. I'm a pretty open guy. So this is how my day started. I get down here to the stadium, get down here to Superdome. I go in the head coach's locker room, which, you know, I've never used before, right? So here I am early in the morning. I go to the bathroom, and this is how my day started. I clogged the toilet. And I'm like, this is going to be a crappy day, pun intended. I'm like, okay, this is not really a great start to the day. Here we go. And so, I'm not really feeling like a head coach of an NFL team right now. So I'm like, really? This is really how we're going to start my day? So,
bro, you can't lose to this guy, bro. You can't. One, he sounds like a King of the Hill character.
I know, he sounds like one of those football lifers that have just been yelling at kids for so many years and they just don't have a voice anymore. Yeah. Get him some throat coat. My goodness.
I mean, you can't lose to that guy.
By the way, headline in New Orleans today.
Yeah.
Nobody beats the Riz.
That's pretty good.
Saints top Falcons 2017, snapping seven games, kid.
That is
nobody
pretty darn
beats
good.
The Riz.
You can't. Okay. So, one, you asked this question in the pre-show. I think it's very important. Did he take care of it or did he have somebody else take care of it? I'm going to say you're a head coach. You don't plunge your own work.
I mean, think about that. Think about that scenario, though. Like, you're getting ready to go ahead. You're going to coach. It's a big deal. Like, this is arguably the biggest moment of his life.
Yep.
And you clog up the toilet. Like, you can't just leave that. Everyone knows that it's you.
Well, I mean, you can because it's in your locker room. You just deal with it later.
That doesn't make it right.
I mean,
no part of that
said,
makes it right.
He was the special teams coach and assistant head coach. He had never used that locker room before.
This is precious minutes, though, that he could be doing something else. And he needs to be doing something else. But, like, what does he do? I have no idea what you do in that spot. I would never walk away, by the way.
You have to.
Doesn't matter what
you're the
role
head coach
I'm in. I could not possibly walk away.
Yeah, you know, you're the head coach now. You got to give the QC guy, the quality control guy.
I'm going to put it at his feet?
You got somebody's
feet.
That's
my own stuff, though.
Yep. That's so?
Oh, that's not listen, worth any QC's pay grade. That's not worth anyone's pay. I mean, that's...
They do more demeaning things than unclog a toilet.
Whew.
I mean, those guys will go get you coffee. Think about...
There's a difference between coffee and unclogging a toilet.
Yeah, well, I'll be honest with you. I think clogging and unclogging a toilet, excuse me, I mean, that's like a plumber's job. That's a real man's job.
I might
outsource it. B-work.
I might outsource it to an actual plumber. Could I do that on the spot? And I'm like, yeah, somebody that like, actually
have
has
a
experience. Now you can find those guys on those apps that you outsource work for.
That's so much
you can
work.
You can find somebody for that.
Can't you just call maintenance? They have plumbers on staff. I mean, they have like maintenance guys.
But then
guys.
There's the embarrassment that comes with that as well.
I just went to the bathroom so manly this toilet could not handle it. I don't think.
That's the spin. Yeah, I did it so manly.
You've been around football guys. Like that. This guy's
clearly. Could have seen when I did that toilet.
This guy's clearly not a world philosopher. All right? He's in his first press conference post a win. He's like, guys, I've clogged up the toilet. Now I'm a head coach.
He's enough of a goober to go in the press conference and make jokes about it. Most people would hide that. Most people would hide that until the day they die.
I guarantee you this happens once a week to NFL head coach. They have no diets. Like, even now, like, they eat like crap. Sorry for the pun. Like, I guarantee you it happens all the time. And by the time you actually are a head coach, like Stefanski, he just calls a guy and then doesn't think about it ever again. That's the sign that you've been a head coach for a while. The guy who feels this is imposter
this
syndrome
very,
is what he's describing.
It feels very Jim Tom Sula, very Freddie Kitchens.
Yep.
It feels very much that guy. The guy that gets the job for either you're a one and done if you actually do get the job, or if you're just an interim, that's the only bit that you get it for.
And this is further evidence you can't lose this game. This is a fireable loss.
They did just win. They did just beat the Falcons.
Yeah, exactly. So they've got the first win out of the way. They've gotten that out of their system. They're not a good team. They're not a team that should beat you. On paper, somehow, you're still the more talented team.
Derek Carr just threw for 270, two touchdowns, passer rating in the 120s.
They've got the Roto-Rooter man as the head coach out there fishing Duke while trying to get a dub. And you're coming off the bye.
I can't wait to see how he follows it up. Those type of people, they have stories like these for days.
Is he going to clog everyone's
for
toilet
days.
Up?
He's going to do something. There'll be another story. I promise you, there'll be another story like this next week.
Is this the human equivalent to like when you see those As Seen on TV commercials where the guy's trying to like walk something out to his car? It's like a simple thing that any like non-idiot could do, and he trips over the wire and then falls on.
Yes.
And there's water all over him. Is he the human equivalent to that?
Some people are just the Three Stooges, okay? That's just their life existence,
that's
Nick.
That's why they're here, to make the rest of us feel smarter.
I think that might be this guy, the Rizzler.
Yeah, and you can't lose to the Rizzler. Coming off the bye with, I don't want to say hope. You don't have hope. But like, you just can't lose this game. Between that dude's a dope, between you're coming off the bye, and it's just like, this is the easiest game you have left on the schedule.
Valdez Scantling was everywhere.
Did we just drop a Valdez Scantling into this?
He was everywhere in that game. And when I was in every red zone that popped up on my screen on Sunday that was showing him, it was just him catching footballs.
You didn't click out of that? Because I would click out of the Saints red zone. That's how little that game
mattered.
I
don't have a choice. Scott Hansen just takes me where I need to go.
Apparently
he
not.
He is my football Sherpa on Sundays.
He takes you to the Rizzler. He takes you to the Turlet. That's what he does.
He took me all through the witching hour where wins became losses and losses became wins.
But no, I mean, this is your most winnable game left on the schedule.
Yeah, I think that's safe to say because the Broncos look much tougher now. Steelers are tough. Yeah, this is it. This is your game.
If you don't win this one.
I don't know that you want to win this one, though.
Okay, there's that. Okay. Define the you. This is the royal we we're talking about.
I think Browns fans in general. I mean, obviously, we heard what Stefanski had to say. Stefanski wants a win. He needs wins. Yeah. I think so. But I don't know that Browns fans. I think we're looking at this. Are we pragmatic about this?
Again, what's the we stuff, Kemosabe? Like how what is we?
Me and
define?
You right now. Not forget everyone else for a second. Me and you right now.
The best thing for the Browns is to lose every game on the rest of the schedule.
Yeah, so we
but
should be rooting on the Rizzler in many respects.
I'm not rooting for it. I can't root for a Browns loss. That sucks. When you're in that space for more than...
Oh, it does suck. I'll agree. It does suck.
Like it's so I'm in a world where I can objectively say, I know best thing for this organization is to get as high as you can in the standings. Carolina won over the weekend over the Giants. That takes one team down a peg.
Another Patriots win we had this weekend, too.
Patriots. So some of those 2-7
teams. We just saw the Saints we were talking about now. Now they're at 3 wins. Like we're getting there.
We're starting to kind of whittle down the crowd
I think I
here.
Saw today we'd be 4th in the draft order if we were selecting today.
So I can say that pragmatically. But as a fan, I can't acknowledge that losing is the best thing. And what surprised me is, because I kind of tongue-in-cheek put out, I know we're all thinking this on social media earlier, and Nick Wilson says, also on TikTok,
Nick Talk.
I had said, just so we're all clear here, the Browns are going to win this Sunday, right? And there were two responses. There was, I don't care. Even more disconcerting was they better not. And I'm like, oh.
But it's not like anybody can hold anyone's feet to flame if they don't. Because we're already at as low of a point as we got, and what did we all do?
You think it can't get lower from here? lose the next day games.
I think the Andrew Berry press conference was already basically the end of season press conference. I don't know that we get much lower than what we've already had.
If we're
talking about
15.
Like in the floor, I don't know that it gets much worse than what we had with the expectations and everything attached. There's no more expectations, Nick.
Yeah.
You're looking at me like I'm drunk right now. I promise you.
Because you just said.
There's no more expectations. Now the objective should be finish out the season, evaluate. The wins and losses become secondary.
They will have lost 9 straight games if they don't win again.
Yeah.
Everyone is getting fired. If that, we can say, everybody right now, oh, you fire Kevin Stefanski, that's ridiculous. Wait till they lose the next 8 games.
Yeah, I just think a lot of people, and again, we're calling out losing the next 8 games, but I think we've hit a low point that I don't know that you can go any lower. When you're already 6 feet under, how do you put somebody 7 feet under?
With one of those scoop shovels on the back of a, yeah. it can happen.
I mean, you're already buried. You're already dead. Buried.
I mean, wasn't Jed Wills the step in that direction? Whether it was a miscommunication or not, Jed Wills saying, I made a business decision that was best for me and not for the team, at least according to the coaches. The coaches thought the best thing was for me to play. That proves to you there is a... And by the way, the fan reaction to it is proof that fans can say they're ambivalent to this whole thing. No, there's fire in the belly right now. And so this is... But I think we're kind of at an interesting point here where this is the problem that you have. There's no way Kevin Stefanski doesn't lose the locker room if they go 2-15, if they never win another game.
But at that point, that might be best
for the organization.
Well, yeah, at that point, then it's, okay, you lost the locker room, but you're fired. Okay. Stefanski's got things to coach for. He's got things to play for. But from a fan, from myself, my expectations were so high, Nick, at this point, it's already done. It's the season is, as far as my expectations and getting me to go back up high or doing anything in between, it's wrapped. It's finished. That's it.
Is this all a response to beating Baltimore and getting too high off the Baltimore win?
Maybe. I got high off the Baltimore win.
Because I disagree with you.
And then we responded appropriately afterwards. We got duped for 1 week.
I disagreed with you that there won't be a point with a Cavs streak that you're going to come around. And by the way, you can listen to that 320 on the all-free Odyssey app. I don't know why I said all-free. It's the free Odyssey app.
It is all-free.
Everything on that
it is 100%
free. So just to be fair.
Yeah.
To be fair. But I don't think you're fibbing now. I think you're right.
I don't fib.
But, okay, Abe Lincoln. But, no, I mean, I just think you're wrong. I think there are levels to this, and Miles playing and getting hurt from here, specifically that Achilles injury, that's the next worst part of this. Any of your core, if you're not playing for anything, you playing them and them getting hurt to save Kevin's job or to keep the locker room or whatever it is, that's worse from here. Winning a game that you have no business in winning that kicks you out of the number one pick, if it's like if you've gone through 7 straight losses and then you randomly beat Miami, it will be worse than here. Or getting to a point where you have to fire Kevin in season. There are worse things from here.
I think we've already hit the worst. I think now everything else is either flatlined. Like there's no worse for me. It's been a disaster upon disasters. I just don't. Again, 6 feet under. How are you going to put me 7 feet under at this point?
By the way, Red saying they're winning out. On Twitter.
Well, that's very optimistic.
Maybe he confused winning and losing.
Well, in some people's minds, them losing out is them winning out.
It's true. Coltrane saying Stefanski has been told to lose, basically.
That's the other side of this. And by the way, Stefanski would not... He's not going to take a directive like that, I wouldn't imagine. But I do think a lot of fans are going to think that way. If they start losing and they start losing games even close, I do think fans are going to wonder if maybe the call came from up top and Stefanski's trying to finish out orders, which sounds ridiculous. It's not how NFL teams operate.
The only reason that it wouldn't sound ridiculous is if you're one of the people that thinks Kevin has no power. Because then it's not his choice because he has no power.
Right, and then he's just this puppet that we've all kind of, for some reason, everyone outside of me and you just believe that he is.
Yeah. Which, by the way, is not what we say when he wins. When he wins, he's the 2-time coach of the year.
Yeah. Put some respect on his name.
When he loses, he's just a puppet.
Mm-hmm.
None of this is his fault. But he gets credit for. 216-474-0092. Are you going to be mad if the Browns win on Sunday? We had some calls to follow up on this one, but I was surprised when I kind of tongue-in-cheek posted something on social media And it was vitriolic towards the Browns or completely apathetic for the Browns. More on that next on 92.3 The Fan. Afternoon Drive, I believe now. We're going to talk to Austin Carr coming up at 6 o'clock today as we'll talk about the Red Hot Cavaliers. Ask him about the record. We'll ask him about the Emirates Cup. A lot of good stuff here. Also, Darius Garland being back. It's too early to say that or not, but...
I agree. Go Cavs.
Is that just going to be your take from now on? Cavs?
It's AC's take. I agree. Go Cavs.
Yes, but he's right in this case.
I agree. Go Cavs.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So then you should spend the entire segment trying to find something for him to disagree with.
Oh, that's great. Do you feel like I could get him to say I agree, go Cavs? Or do you, is he as aware of the I agree, go Cavs as everyone else is?
No.
I don't think he is.
No.
That's the best part of it.
You know
right.
Why? It's the Jeff Phelps thing. He really is living his best life. Like when you say to Jeff, how you doing? He says, I couldn't possibly be better. There's no lie detected. AC is living the best life possible. The man was a star at Notre Dame. He came in, at one point was one of the best two guards in the NBA. Yeah, the injury ended it. But then he's been Mr. Cavalier since. Like, this is the life.
It's
I'm
a very
jealous.
Memorable catchphrase, though, at this point. I feel like you should be in on it if it's your catchphrase.
No.
And your thing that people know.
No.
Very well.
Like, you think sitcom characters know that they're in on it?
I think, yeah. I feel like... I feel like the Fonz knew he had to go "ay" all the time.
No, I think he just had like a tick. I think it was just
is that what it was?
Yeah, I think it was just
once he jumped the shark, literally, it was fine. He just got removed everything.
I think so. Now, okay. You had mentioned something about this weekend and what you saw around the NFL and why it might be a good might have been a good weekend for some Browns fans.
Well, okay, so I need to couch this with the idea that it was not a good weekend when it comes to college quarterbacks that we could potentially be drafting.
Yeah.
Carson Beck, like laughing on the sidelines when they're down. That was not a great look, all things considered. Cam mm-hmm. Ward didn't look particularly good either. Like there was a lot that wasn't good, okay?
No.
There was a lot that wasn't good. LSU's quarterback that Ken Carmen is infatuated with.
Nussmeier. Don't call me Nussmeier. Nussmeier.
I mean, jeez, that game was a lousy game for LSU.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
In fairness, that was the defense.
Let's put it kindly.
Fire the defensive coordinator.
Jalen Milroe might be the new Lamar Jackson. We can explore that later on.
No.
We can explore that later on.
Never.
Four rushing touchdowns, 185 yards. I'll ask Pete Futek about that one later on, but that's neither here nor there. Drake May looked awesome. Bo Nix looked awesome in a narrow defeat to the Chiefs. Came down to a field goal at the very end. Like a lot of the quarterbacks, there's four that are actually playing. Obviously, two that aren't taken in the top 15 of the draft last year. Out of the four of them, the only disappointment so far has been Caleb Williams, the number one overall pick. And I don't think anybody's putting that at Caleb Williams' feet.
Yeah.
This was a really good weekend for the I can draft someone like Bo Nix. And if everything is in place, it'll take care of itself. This was a good weekend for the I can draft Drake May, and if everything seems to be in place, things will take care of itself.
I do think that I don't think it's ever been easier for young quarterbacks to come in and have success early. And I think some of this is just luck. Like C.J. Stroud went to the better situation than Bryce Young, and I don't think it's coincidence that one guy's balling out and the other... everybody's celebrating throwing for like 170 yards in a game.
Yeah.
And some of this is, I do think, because offenses are more simplistic now in the NFL than they were 30 years ago, and there's a thin line that divides college quarterbacks and the systems they run and what you do in the pros. Like, the pro system is a myth now. The pro system is just some iteration of college concepts, because you don't have the time to teach these guys the intricate stuff and work it out on the football field. So the NFL is dumbed down to some degree. I just think it's still playing with fire. I think drafting quarterback, when it works out, it's the greatest thing you'll ever do, and it puts you on a 10-year run and yada, yada, yada. But it is wholly dependent on who are the guys in the draft. And that's why I disagree. Like, it's proof that you can make it work. You can win early. Guys can subvert expectations coming from college into the pros. But that doesn't speak to the quality of the class that comes in. There are just classes like the 2013 class where it looked completely butt until Geno Smith 4 years ago had a renaissance. Every other quarterback in that class was an abject failure.
Right, but if you're living with the idea that it's like, oh, well, the Browns might pick at the seventh spot, and you're not going to have your favorite quarterback. You might have your third favorite quarterback, but make it work. I feel like this last weekend now, again, there's six quarterbacks that were taken in the first round last year. Two of them obviously aren't playing at all. That's Penix and then J.J. McCarthy. The four that have played are all what right now, as of right now, and based off of what happened in the previous 3 weeks of play, Bo Nix taking a step forward, Drake May taking a massive step forward. Man, is he able to use his legs. Like, this is a big hit for the people that believe, and the people that pay attention to this stuff, that I don't have to kick the can down the road and wait two more years to go ahead and get a quarterback I like, or a quarterback that I'm so smitten with that I just can't help myself. It's a good week for if you have the right people in place. I don't know that the Browns do, but if you have the right people in place, you can get a quarterback and make it work.
I think it's a good week to watch what happened in the NFL and think we can do that.
Yes.
That doesn't mean that's the reality.
No.
And I think
early returns are pretty strong.
I think this is the beginning of, and this is really what teams do. Because teams, I mean, we heard it back in 2014 when there was a study that said take Teddy Bridgewater, and they drafted Johnny Manziel, and it was some guy in marketing who made that happen. Like, those are the kind of things that you do where you sell yourself on an idea and you back yourself into a corner, and then you do it because, well, look at what happened last year. I think one of the biggest follies that teams make, and it's proved to me that NFL teams are just as dumb as they claim fans are. The trend chasing that happens in the NFL. Like, one team will invent something, and then everybody, it was the Wildcat, right? That was the first time I really thought of it.
It's a copycat league, yeah.
Yeah, but the problem is, more teams fail doing that if you're chasing a trend than reality. And just taking quarterbacks, right, because four quarterbacks hit last year, and that's the appearance after, what, 10 games? That is chasing a trend. That's not built in the logic of what is this class look like.
But what do we have filled in the NFL? We have a lot of guys that think they're offensive geniuses and they know exactly what they're doing, and they are, they're just great at this, right? Well, Sean Payton in Denver should be getting killed for moving off Russell Wilson, who now looks great in Pittsburgh, by the way, and saying, Bo Nix, that's the guy that I'm going to go ahead and that's going to be the answer. He's not getting killed, because he does seem like he's got Bo Nix in a good spot, and they were a field goal away at the last second of beating the Chiefs this past weekend and ruining their undefeated season. All these guys, if you look at it, Cliff Kingsbury in Washington with Jaden Daniels, Kingsbury is like, yeah, I can get this guy where he needs to be. Great offensive mind, knows how to run all sorts of different schemes and everything attached to it. Like, he's exactly the type of guy that, like, if Kevin Stefanski looks around and says, yeah, I have that type of offensive acumen, I can take player X, as long as they have a baseline of talent and make him great in today's NFL. That's what this last weekend was.
Yeah, but is that logic? Or is that hubris?
A lot of it is it's a mixture of both in many ways. I think it is. I think there's hubris attached to it. For sure there is.
Because here's the thing. I think people are going to get drunk on quarterbacks because of last year. And I think it is a disaster waiting to happen. I'm not saying there isn't a franchise quarterback in this class. I'm not a guy who does that. Right? I might like guys. I wasn't one of the guys saying Patrick Mahomes is a future something. I'm not here to tell you definitively. I can tell you.
But you're right, though, in that it's a copycat league, right? It's a copycat league. And if they see this happening, they're going to say, why not me? I can make this happen
and
again.
And here's the thing. What scares me is it's exactly the kind of thing that I think my perception of Jimmy that he would buy into.
All you need is the green light.
Yeah.
And this is, there's green lights everywhere this past weekend.
Green lights.
That suggests that if you go ahead and take one of these quarterbacks, if you have a good offensive mind attached to it, then you can probably make it all work.
I just think that's the concern. Like, I just think, because again, I think this is a, I'm not saying you're wrong and whatever. I just mean, like, I think you're right, but I think it's an incredibly reductive way of thinking. Like, at what point can we just say, hey, four rookie quarterbacks are outperforming expectations, and that looks like it's going to be a really good draft class? At what point don't we just say that in 2021? I'm trying to think of the last time that a quarterback class immediately had four guys performing at that level. I mean, that's kind of the anomaly.
Yeah, instantly is tough for this many, for the degree that it has been. We talked about that 2020 class for a while there,
and,
yeah.
And at what point can we just chalk it up to that's an anomaly, and it was just a good quarterback class?
I think this one's different, though, because this one wasn't perceived as some sort of great quarterback class. This one was perceived as a class that has a lot of first-round quarterbacks, but it's not going to be one that blows your socks off. And now we're 10 weeks into this,
I think
it looks like the four guys that have played have all been good.
I think Drake May, Williams, and Jaden, I think everybody thought they were going to be good. Everybody thought those were worth the top 10 picks. It was McCarthy and Nix that I think is going to trick people into thinking other things.
I think a lot of people thought Drake May was a little bit of a reach there at three, but you had to take it because it was quarterbacks.
Yeah, but those same people were like, but it would have been the great pick with the Giants at six.
I mean, listen, I wish we could throw in J.J. McCarthy, but we can't right now. I wish we could throw in Penix in here, but we can't right now. We just have the four quarterbacks to go off of. And if you're an offensive mind, and this is what we have right now, if Stefanski's still the coach, he's going to believe he can take anybody and turn him into being awesome. I'm telling you, he's going to convince himself that if there's a guy in the top 10, he's going to be able to make this work.
I just feel like...
And he'll use these talking points, by the way. Not these particular talking points, but what we just saw, what we're seeing right now, Bo Nix being a poster child for this. Oh, look at what Sean Payton. Sean Payton's got his next Drew Brees sitting right there. Look at what he's been able to do. That's what he's going to say.
Yeah, and
it's going to bother
you.
But it's going to happen.
But this is the problematic thinking. Like, this is like, because, by the way, why were there six quarterbacks taken in the first round this last year? One of the biggest narratives coming out of this draft is because next year's draft class isn't anything. And now, again, that's a year in advance, and sometimes teams are wrong about that. But I just continue this. I think a lot of people are going to talk themselves into, well, you got to take a quarterback because that's what you do, because you can't afford another quarterback. And that just gets people fired too. Like, I just think, like, I know, like, none of the, like, when I say Mac Jones is going to be your quarterback next year, I'm not enjoying that. I'm not thinking to myself, woo, let's go, Mac.
He looked really bad this last weekend.
Like, he did. But here's the thing,
Daniel Jones is out there. It was not fun.
Like,
also
guys,
not fun.
You're going to be putting lipstick on a pig, but I would much rather do it with some stopgap quarterback who might lead you to 3-14, and maybe he leads you to 8-9. I'd rather that than we're gonna take a quarterback, and then next 2026, where all the big boys actually will play, you're not going to be in the business of going after a quarterback because you just took a guy, and it takes 2 years to find out whether a guy stinks or not.
Yeah, I'm telling you, based off of this class, the runway is clear if they want to. Like, this is the pitch. If I was Stefanski and Barry and company, this is the pitch I'd be making to Haslam.
Yeah, but should it be? Because I'm saying no, it shouldn't be.
I
think you're the guy who's saying it should be.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you have a good offensive system, I think if you're actually good at this, and I believe Stefanski is actually good at this,
so you think,
I think the quarterback doesn't matter. No, the quarterback matters. It has to be of enough talent. I'm not saying you can take a quarterback in the fourth round and then all of a sudden they're going to be awesome. I think there has to be a bar that they can clear, and I think a lot of the first round quarterbacks that we've seen in recent years can clear that bar. And I think we go back to something you said in the beginning of the segment about your environment mattering, and where you go does matter in this whole equation. Now, the question you have to ask yourself off of that is, do you feel like Stefanski is the type of guy that with a brand new, you know, clay to mold, could he be able to do that? Is this the right environment for someone to come into? I don't know that last year a lot of people would have said that the Broncos are the right environment for Bo Nix to go into. See how quick that turned around?
Yeah, but that could also change with four bad games.
For sure. It goes in every direction. This is like how the NFL operates.
Yeah, but I think, man, it just feels like we're ramping up the train to sell ourselves on something that if you weren't thinking about your job, you weren't thinking about your own ego and who you think you are as a coach. If you were just being objective on the process, you would go, Yeah, probably not the right year to follow up, considering that a fair amount of people kind of already looked at what 2025 quarterback class is. If we don't think any of those guys, like, because here's the thing. You might be taking Bo Nix, that caliber of quarterback, with the number one pick this year. That's not smart. That's taking Daniel Jones with a sixth pick instead of the 33rd pick.
I think Shedeur Sanders is better than that, but I was very disappointed with a lot of the guys we've been talking about this past weekend. There was a lot of bad quarterbacking going around this weekend.
Start your game day with a Fan Bud Light tailgate show with Jonathan Peterlin and myself, Nick Wilson. Afternoon drive reigns supreme.
You're with me?
Yes.
At the tailgate.
Oh, no, I just wanted to make sure that you knew. I thought you did know.
No, I didn't know that. That's
we're
nice.
Going to be live from Tap Sports Bar at MGM North.
Somebody might have told me, by the way. I want to make sure everyone knows. Somebody probably told me in one ear, out the other.
This Sunday, starting at 10 a.m. through kickoff at 1 p.m., win tickets to see the Browns take on the Steelers. Thursday, November 21st, must be 21 and over. Make the Fan Bud Light tailgate show part of your game day routine on the radio home of the Cleveland Browns. 92.3 The Fan, presented by Valley Automotive Group, the Buckeye Law Group, and Sal's Heating and Cooling. Plumbing and Sewer. Get details at 92.3thefan.com. Did you watch the NFL this last weekend and think, hey, it might just be as easy as draft a quarterback and right the ship? More on that. And JP in Little Italy next on 92.3 The Fan. And it's, I just saw Jax just burst into laughter. Nothing we did, but it just made me laugh. But Albert's coming up in 40 minutes. AC, Austin Carr at 6 o'clock. But you had a nice weekend. We talked a little bit about it off air. Tell me about your trip to Little Italy.
So we go to Little Italy on Saturday night, and the parking was ridiculous. It's 6 o'clock on a Saturday. I don't know what I expected. I've been to Little Italy a lot. I don't remember it being the way that it was on Saturday. So I drop Elise off, and I drop we took our child. And so she's, it's a two-year-old. And that's never a great time when you're going to a restaurant anyway. But it was just kind of where the night took us, right? Mm-hmm. And so I dropped them off at the front, and I go to try to find parking. And I dropped them off in front of a valet. In Little Italy, you got all sorts of different spots that you can just valet. For some reason, I just refuse. I just don't want to pay the $10, the $15, the $20, whatever it ends up being.
It's just like the Cavs streak thing. You just refuse to admit that it matters.
I never want to pay more than I need to. Uh-huh. Right. So in my mind, same reason why I mow my lawn is like, in my mind, that's $50 in my pocket. If I can successfully pull it off, if I can park my own car, that's $10 in my pocket there.
When you said successfully pull it off about mowing your lawn, I'm like, is really the stakes are not that high.
No,
it's not that difficult.
We can mess it up often. Yeah. It's okay. And so I'm driving around, and then I got a bunch of texts from my wife, and she's worried because some random guy is sitting down at the table with her and the baby and like striking up conversation and all this stuff. And I'm like, I'm parking the car, and I'm going up and down the different roads, and I'm trying to find a spot. Half hour, Nick.
Yeah.
And I was not going to give up until I found a spot. Half hour, I found a spot. And I was just wondering, like, am I too overboard with the not paying for valet thing?
Yeah. Yeah, you're a man of some accomplishment. It's time.
Well, that's debatable.
No,
it's
time.
I'm ushering into now I pay for valet portion of my life.
Well, again, it's not. You don't have to do it all the time, but if you get 10 minutes in, I mean, what are we doing?
Well,
here?
Then I was pot committed because then I felt like I had to. You're 10 minutes in. I'm going to turn around and be the sucker that pays for valet?
Yeah, 10 minutes in, that's a respectable amount of time to look for a parking spot, not have one.
I thought I was never going to find one, Nick.
Yeah, well,
I was convinced at one point I was just going to drive around. I told her, I said, order. I said, order. If it shows up to the table, just eat.
No, that's
just eat.
Crazy people.
I'm finding a parking spot.
Because here's the thing. You're paying for time. How much time did you give up with your wife and daughter at a restaurant you like? When you could have just,
I had nothing to do on Saturday night.
No, you're missing the point.
Full avenue ahead of me.
Would you rather spend those 30 minutes looking for a parking spot out of some whacked out principle, or spending it with your beautiful wife and your beautiful daughter?
If it was like 15 or 20 bucks, I'm gonna spend the half hour.
No, it's not worth it. That's not the acceptable price per hour. Everybody, you and I have a price per hour.
Yeah.
That allows us to be here because we're missing some of the most important parts of the day with our family. It ain't 15 bucks an hour. I'm just saying.
No, but for a half hour, it might be.
So, okay.
I had nothing to do.
30, But you didn't know. So here's the thing.
I got so agitated. Why is parking so mad, though? That's the part that we need to figure out is, is it worth the frustration?
No, it's not. No.
It's not about the time. It's about the frustration attached to then trying to find a parking spot that was basically non-existent.
I would say it's about all of it. I would say, so I go into things thinking, if I don't have something by ... yeah, I'm just going to cave.
Okay.
And because it's not, I will, if I get into a bad attitude about something, it's tough for me to wash it off quickly. And it's just not worth it. So, I think you and I are different in that. You can be frustrated about something else and it doesn't bleed over. But no, I would set a 10-minute timeline. If I'm not finding something in 10 minutes, it's not worth it.
What's the most are you paying for this valet?
I'm the wrong guy because I always find a parking spot because I'm a winner, but.
You weren't going to find one here, man. I'm telling you.
But you know,
literally, it's ridiculous on Saturday.
But here's the thing. Once you get to 10 minutes, it doesn't. It'd be $50. Okay.
That's the tail cost. Between my legs. I have to go and go to the valet
they don't
guy.
Know that.
No, they do know it because
you think you're better than me.
I dropped off Elise and my child right in front of them. It wasn't like I was making a statement, but I went right in front of them, and they both looked at me like, "You're in our way right now." Yeah. And I'm like, "I got nowhere else to go."
No, they
the
forgot
whole street
about you.
Is backed up.
They forgot about you. Like you're thinking these people are going to remember. I have to tell Ness this the whole time, baby. We're surrounded by 50,000 people that aren't going to remember you 10 minutes from now. They're going to be like, that blonde lady, she had a lot of gumption on her, didn't care for it. They've forgotten about you already. 10 minutes down the road, you came back and they're like, ah, this guy, he's going to give us a nice tip here. I like this guy. That's all they're thinking about. Valets see like what, 30 people an hour? That's probably aggressive. 15 people an hour?
I have no idea. They're always running, too, because you got to run from spot to spot. Not the place that I was going to park at, but I see them downtown a lot. They're constantly just running.
Yeah.
It's a hell of a workout being a valet guy.
But, I mean, if I was a valet, I'd love this story because it would like, prop up. Like, there's, like, side hustles, and they got, like, you know, anger and all that. They hold on to grudges. Nah, I think they're just trying to make a couple bucks. So there's really, once you get past 10 minutes, once you get past 10 minutes, there's no amount of money that it shouldn't be worth it. Right? That next 20 minutes.
Man. I'm pot committed. There is a breaking point there. There is a breaking point.
Was it 31 minutes?
I was so close to being like, I told her order. And if it shows up, just eat it. And then I'll just meet you in the car. I was so close just turning around and
then
going home.
Why even go out? Get DoorDash.
Well, no. That's the thing. We stuck with it. We stuck with it. We had
a nice.
She
gets credit.
We had a nice meal.
You do.
Oh, she was so worried about this guy that was coming up and sitting at our table. And I'm like, it's okay. It said the Olive Garden slogan is when you're here, your family for a reason.
She should
have
asked.
You're in Little Italy. People just come up and sit down at the table. It's okay.
She should have asked him a question. Do you valet park? And the second he said yes, you'd be in trouble.
Can you help my husband find a parking spot around here, please?
That'd be the worst story in the world. So a very happy marriage, loving marriage. And then I just refused to pay for valet. And one night I waited 45 minutes and I came in and my family was gone.
They just gone.
She absconded with a man who paid for valet, and that's the last I ever heard from
her.
She
pointed out the guy when I got in as if I was going to do something about it. What am I doing about this?
No, see, that's why you got it.
Just a nice guy that came and sat down. And I did. I sold her that pitch. I'm like, it's when you're here, your family. It's Little Italy. Everyone comes up and talks to everyone.
Were you selling her or were you selling yourself?
Selling myself in many ways.
216-474-0092. What is the longest you'll wait before you give in and go back and actually use the valet? We also have the 505 coming up on 92.3 The Fan.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests.
Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies Rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.